Today is Wednesday, February 8th. We're going to be working on connective muscle and nervous tissues today. So connective tissues start on page 45. So epithelial and connectives are the two biggest categories we've got. This is a huge category of tissues, and like the name implies, their jobs are to connect and protect, support, but they are not providing a lining surface. So you're not going to see an apical surface nor a basement membrane here. That's just one thing that we're not going to expect to see. Now, a lot of tissues have what's called a matrix. It's a non-living portion of the tissue. Even epithelial tissues have a small bit of matrix, but in the connective tissues, that's where you really find an abundant and quite visible matrix. So that's something we're going to look for. It's a unifying feature of all of our connective tissues, and it's considered to be a non-living portion of the cell or the tissue. It is made by your cells, it's secreted by those cells, but it's actually not a living portion of the tissue. You're also going to find in some connective tissue types abundant fibers, and these fibers are made by fibroblast. What does a fibroblast do for a living? Makes fibers, yep. So the blast suffix tells us what? Building, growing, good. It's a building or growing cell, and of course the job is to make fibers. There are three fiber types. We're going to talk about collagen, elastic, and reticular fibers. The collagen fibers are first. They're alternately known as white fibers because in living connective tissue, they actually appear white. But when you take the tissue and you stain it using some form of dye, they may stain pink or purple depending on the dye color. If you had one word to describe a collagen fiber's function, what would it be?
Cushion.
Flexible.
Flexible, okay. How about strength? That'd be another one we could think of. I oftentimes think of collagen fibers like very strong steel cables. Steel cables do have flexibility, so that's certainly a good word to use, but they're also very, very strong. And so this is a very important fiber in our connective tissues. It is the most common of all three of these fiber types. Number two is elastic fibers or yellow fibers. If you had a word to describe this particular fiber type, what would it be?
Stretch.
Stretch, definitely. Let's talk underwear for just a moment. Good underwear stretches and it recoils back to its original position. So do good elastic fibers. They not only stretch, but they pop back to their original shape. You know, underwear's time to go is when it stretches and it doesn't pop back, right? So underwear that's lost its elasticity, like elastic fibers, mean they don't have the stretch and recoil ability, because that's really a key component here of elastic fibers. Reticular fibers are kind of like collagen fibers, but they're junior in form. They're not strong steel like cables. In fact, they're very delicate and they're meant to be a supporting type of fiber. So they tend to branch, something you don't see in collagen or, you know, elastic fibers. Reticular fibers are branching fibers. So do you recognize this, well, let's start with general type of tissue.
Well, general would be connective tissue.
Connective, good. And specific type?
Loose areolar.
Good, loose areolar. Loose areolar actually has all three fiber types. You know, it's got collagen, elastic, reticular. And in this particular picture, the collagen fibers are really easy to see because they're big, they're steel cable-like structures. And the elastic fibers often look squiggly, like you'd expect something that's stretchy to appear. One thing you don't notice is the reticular fibers. They take a different stain. So when they stain loose areolar or connective tissue, collagen and elastic show up with no problem. But this particular slide was not stained to show up those reticular fibers. We know they're there. They just didn't appear because they weren't stained with that particular dye. Here's more elastic fibers. We know that they're meant to be stretchy. They're going to be found in locations in the body where stretchiness is key, such as vessels where you need to have the stretch and recoilability. These are reticular fibers. Now, this particular slide has been stained with that particular dye. Can you tell me first off the general category?
It's connective tissue
and the specific type? Loose reticular, good. And of course, loose reticular has reticular fibers. So lots of reticular fibers here. They are thin, branched. They're somewhat curly in appearance. They are actually made up of collagen. Yeah, what's that?
Like a cherry tree.
Like a cherry tree, yeah. I've had people say rose bushes, grapevines, cherry trees. Okay, something else we tend to see in our connective tissues are building and breakdown cells. So I'll give you a moment to jot down numbers 1, 2, and 3. Blast, clast, and sites. So we know that blasts are builders. They're the ones that make, build, form, or grow new tissue types. So we've got fibroblasts, we've got chondroblasts, we have various types of blasts found in our connective tissues. What do clasts do for a living?
Break
stuff, right. They destroy, they break down. So we've got things like osteoclasts that break down what? Bone, good. What would a chondroclast do? Cartilage, right? Destroy cartilage. So we've got builders and we've got the breakdown cells. And then we have a category known as the sites. Site as a suffix means what?
Cell.
Good. So these are mature cells. They're not building. They're not breaking down. They're oftentimes retired from their earlier activities, so they no longer build or break down. They're just mature cells. They're performing metabolism for that particular tissue. Fibroblasts are star-shaped, and sometimes you're not going to see the star-shaped appearance of them, but you will see the nucleus. So in this picture, you've got a very good close-up of some fibroblast nuclei. Odds are, when you see a connective tissue, you can probably say that's a fibroblast and most likely be right. These are the most common type of cell in our connective tissues, and like the name implies, their job is to build what? Fibers, yeah. Fibroblasts build fibers. Okay.
What shape are they?
They're star shaped, but sometimes all you see is that nucleus.
Okay. So she was on an exam, she had a box around that. Says name the fiber. Would we say fibroblast?
It would probably say name the cell, and it would be
fibroblast.
What part is fibroblast?
That nucleus there, and the cell is very hard to see, but it's a star shaped cell. I've got some better ones.
How would you know from that picture?
I wouldn't.
Oh.
It's too close up. I don't have any context in that picture. That just looks like stuff to me. And you wouldn't know from this one either unless we told you so. This is bone tissue. I know it doesn't really look like what you expect to see as bone tissue. It's a different cut for bone. You're like, bone tissue? I didn't learn it that way. But nonetheless, there's osteoblast and osteoclast here. Osteoclasts are big. These are big osteoclast cells. They're actually a type of white blood cell, and they're destroyers. I kind of think of them as big bruisers that travel through the tissue, and it's their job to break down that tissue type. So you may wonder why in the world you would want to break down bone, but it's to release what into the bloodstream? Calcium. Yeah, get calcium back in the bloodstream. These white arrows point at much smaller osteoblasts. What is their job?
Destroy.
Build bone, good. So they're actually doing the opposite job of osteoclast. We'll look at some more fibroblasts. We're going to go through a whole list here of these connective tissues. We'll find some fibroblasts there. Our first category is going to be the connective tissue proper category. And you may wonder why they get a special grouping within the connective tissue group. It's because they have visible fibers, and they kind of fit the bill for what a connective tissue should be. A visible matrix, fibers, they kind of routinely are classified as the loose and the dense types. We're also going to talk about bone, blood, and cartilage. They're also connective tissues, they're just not considered CT proper. All right, looks like we're ready to flip on to page 46. Do you have any questions so far?
So you said that osteoclasts break down bones to release calcium.
Correct. How about any other questions from page 45?
Repeat what you just said.
Osteoclasts break down bone to put calcium in the blood. So under the CT proper category, we have the loose and dense connective tissue types. The word loose implies it's loosely organized or perhaps not a very strong tissue, but oh, that is so far from the truth. Loose connective tissue types, in fact, can be very strong. It's just that their fibers and their matrix are loosely arranged. So you're going to see a lot of white background space in these three pictures for loose areolar, adipose, and reticular. So don't let the looseness or the organization here throw you off and making you think that they're not in fact strong tissue types. They actually can be. Let's talk loose areolar connective tissue first. So again, it is a loosely organized tissue. You do see a lot of white space in the background. Normally, if this was an actual living tissue, that space is not just air. That space is filled with fluid that is a gel-like consistency. So this loose areolar connective tissue is unusual. It has all three fiber types. You can actually spot two of them here pretty well. The collagen fibers often appear fuzzy, thick like cables. There's another one traveling through. And they're meant to be a strong and flexible fiber type. The reticular fibers are not visible in this particular picture. They require a different type of stain. They just didn't apparently bother to stain this one, but they're supposed to be in this tissue as well. Elastic fibers, how would you describe their function?
Stretch,
yeah, they're stretching. So you've got steel cables, you've got stretchy elastic fibers, and you have the delicate supportive reticular fibers. So you've got all three fiber types in loose areolar. So where do you find this very tough tissue type?
Skin.
Under the skin, right, good. So if you were to separate skin from underlying muscle, this is sometimes called fascia, and it's a very tough tissue type. So sometimes called fascia.
Can you spell that?
F-A-S-C-I-A. So sometimes in Bio210 lab, we have cats with the skin on, and you get the glorious job of taking that skin off. And when doing so, you'll notice that the skin is tightly anchored to the underlying muscle, and that's with loose areolar or fascia. It is really a tough spiderweb-like tissue. If you've never skinned an animal, and I believe we've got skinless cats, yay, this semester, so you don't have that honor of taking off the skin. But if you've ever cooked with, say, something like chicken, perhaps it has the skin on, you may notice that when you pull the skin off, there's this white, shiny stuff that connects the skin to the muscle or the meat, and that's fascia or loose areolar connective tissue. So it's meant to be a very tough tissue. I mean, nobody wants their skin to be pulled away from their underlying muscle. So, you know, that's meant to be a very tight, very tough connective tissue. Now, in terms of function, how would you describe the function of loose areolar?
Deep
cushioning, okay? It is deep to the skin, okay? What other things could you use to describe this tissue type? Binding and packing material, yeah. So it's kind of like really strong packaging tape, and it's double-sided because it anchors your skin to your underlying muscle. So here's another picture of loose areola. Again, you see a lot of collagen and reticular fibers. They did not stain the, you see the collagen and elastin. They did not stain the reticular fibers, so they're just not showing up here.
Can you point to another fibroblast other than the one that's pointing?
Yeah, any of these back here, all of these are fibroblast nuclei. So any of those little circular shaped structures, there's some over here, even all good examples of fibroblasts. Yeah. So I don't mean to gross you out here for eating, but we're gonna go there. So if you cook meat and you cook something like a roast, and then you put your leftovers in the refrigerator, you may pull the roast out the next day, whether it's pork roast or beef roast. And it looks like you've got jelly sitting in your roast, right? You ever seen that?
That's my favorite.
Now you can explain to friends and family what you've got. Okay, so that jelly-like stuff is actually broken down collagen fibers. Okay, so if you don't cook the meat, the collagen fibers don't break down. It's a much tougher thing to chew if it's not cooked, which that's why we cook meat, right? And so if you cook the meat long enough, the collagen fibers adequately break down into gelatin. And so that is in fact jelly that's surrounding your pork roast or your beef roast. It's actually meat gelatin. So things like Jell-O are actually made from broken down collagen fibers. When you add hot water and then let it cool, that turns into a jelly-like substance. Now in our own bodies, the fluid that exists around here is called interstitial fluid. You know, it's a type of extracellular fluid. And in reality, it exists as kind of a jelly-like fluid around this particular connective tissue. So there's your dinner time trivia conversation for today. Yeah, that's gross, right? More fibroblasts. All these little dark spots are fibroblast nuclei. Okay. A really busy picture of loose areola. You can hardly distinguish between collagen and elastic fibers here. So in terms of fiber direction, how would you describe the direction these fibers run?
Down.
Everywhere. I would go with everywhere, yeah. You can't really say that they're going all together in one direction or the other. So the fact that these fibers do run in multiple directions means that there's going to be strength provided in whatever direction the pull or tug comes. So that is another good reason that we don't see this particular tissue separate from the underlying skin or from the organs that they're meant to wrap and protect. All right, the next one's an easy one. It's loose adipose connective tissue. And how would you describe the way this one looks? Big globs of fat, right? Okay. What else would you describe? How does it look to you? Marshmallows?
Yeah.
Bubbles, cotton balls, okay? In fact, there are hardly any room for the fibroblasts. They're kind of pushed up in between the cells, so these little spots here kind of pushed out of the way are the fibroblast nuclei. You do have collagen fibers here to make this a strong and supportive tissue, but with all those big globs of fat stored inside those adipocytes, there's not going to be a whole lot of strength coming from this tissue. Not like you would expect with, say, these areolar connective tissue. So where are some places you could find loose adipose?
Behind your eye.
And behind your eye, abdomen, breast tissue. Hypodermis, right under the skin.
That says yellow bone marrow.
Good, yeah, yellow bone marrow also includes adipose tissue. Good. So this is an energy storage tissue. It does store energy in the form of fat or triglycerides. And when you haven't had enough to eat or you've already burned through your available supplies of sugar, your body can then go and burn off some of your fat supplies. Mature adipocytes do not divide by mitosis. They only just get bigger and bigger to store the, how much fat we want to put in them. When you lose weight, they shrink in shape. So the bad news is if they do liposuction and they pull out mature adipocytes, the remaining ones can just swell and take up however much fat there is left behind to store. So that's the bad news about the adipocytes. The mature ones don't divide, they just swell however big they need to be to take up the fat tissue. This is a blood vessel. This is a vascular tissue, which means what?
It has blood in it.
Blood, yep. Blood vessels supply blood to this tissue. You've got to have some way to bring the fat to storage, right? So there is a great blood supply here in this connective tissue. The kind of evil thing about this particular connective tissue is if you have a lot of it and they do liposuction, they break those blood vessel connections and a person can have severe bleeding. So liposuction is not always a good solution for someone who has a lot of fat that they want to be sucked out through that particular procedure. So, you know, you've seen on TV sometimes the morbidly obese people like 800 pounds and you wonder why they just don't vacuum clean out all their fat. It's because of this vascular supply of blood vessels. They can't do that. They would actually cause them to bleed out. All right, our last loose connective tissue type is loose reticular. So guess what fiber type is common here? Reticular, good. And what is the shape or appearance of a reticular fiber?
Branches,
good. And it's meant to be a supportive, but a delicate supportive structure. It's not strong and cable-like like a collagen fiber, even though it's made of collagen itself. Do you know what all of these red spots are?
Fiberglass?
Yeah, fibroblasts, good. All these red spots are fibroblasts. What are they making?
Fiber.
What particular type?
Reticular.
Yeah, so they're making reticular fibers. This is classified as a loose connective tissue because you've got a fair amount of white space there in the background. Again, that's why we consider it a loosely organized tissue. And all you see here are reticular fibers and fibroblasts. Now, what you just looked at was a big zoomed in, high magnification picture. And then in this picture, we're gonna zoom out. And I know a lot of you have described this as rose bushes, grapevines, cherry trees. What else comes to mind?
Berries,
that's good. One thing I'm hoping it does not remind you of is blood, okay? Because blood does not have spiky little reticular fibers. Boy, wouldn't that be painful. So when you're looking at this one, I just want to exclude the thought of blood from your brain. This is not blood because those reticular fibers certainly are not found in blood connective tissue. Where do you expect to find this one?
Kidneys,
lymph nodes, liver.
Ulnar, spleen.
Spleen, good. Okay, and I would think of this tissue as kind of like the cytoskeleton. Thinking back to our cell and organelle discussion, what does the cytoskeleton do for you?
Structure.
Structure, yeah. So this is kind of like a tissue skeleton. It is similar to the cytoskeleton in that it provides a structure for tissues. And all the ones that we just talked about, liver, lymph nodes, spleen, for instance, are all soft connective tissues. This provides an internal framework or an internal structure for those really soft organs. All right, any questions so far about our three loose connective tissue types? Structure for soft organs, yeah, that would be good. We sometimes call it a tissue skeleton. That may be also an easy thing to remember. So I know this is a silly question, but what makes a dense connective tissue classified as dense? No space, yeah. So it's tightly packed. There's not a lot of space in there that you can see, and the fibers or the cells take up most of the visible tissue type. This one is dense, regular connective tissue. The most common fiber type here is what? Collagen. Yeah, collagen is a very common fiber type here. And the type of cell that makes those collagen fibers are what?
Fibroblasts.
Fibroblasts, good.
So collagen is a...
Collagen is a fiber type. Why don't we go all the way off? Okay, so what you're looking at are wavy collagen fibers, and then there's ever so often a dark spot. These dark spots, like this one here, are fibroblasts, and they're kind of squished because they're tightly wedged between those collagen fibers. So there's no space here. You've got collagen fibers packed really tightly together. And I want you to notice the direction the fibers all travel. It's in the same direction. So we could orient this picture any which way, and all the fibers are traveling together in the same direction. So if you're to pull in this direction, then you've got the strength of all of those collagen fibers that are supporting that. And there's not going to be a great amount of pull that you can create. What if I come over here and I pull in this direction? What happens to those collagen fibers? They stretch and they come apart, right? So if you think about your tendons and ligaments, your tendons and ligaments are made up of dense regular connective tissue. These tendons and ligaments are situated in your joints, and they're going to be situated in such a way that they put that lengthwise pull around the joint. So when you move your knee, you bend your knee, you walk, those tendons and ligaments are running around your knee where the strength is running lengthwise. You know, if you fall off the curb, you fall down a set of stairs, and those tendon or ligaments get pulled in the other direction, that's when we get an injury, such as a tear to that tendon or ligament. The bad news is, this is an avascular tissue. There's not a very good blood supply here, and it's going to be very slow to heal. So that's why some tendon ligament tears must be repaired with surgery if it's such a great tear, because it takes a really long time for an avascular tissue like this one to heal. Okay, so one thing I look for to confirm this is dense regular connective tissue is the wavy collagen fibers. What are some other tricks? What comes to mind for you? How do you know this is not smooth muscle?
Fibroblasts,
good. And are the fibroblasts inside the collagen fibers or between them?
Between them.
Okay, so that's something to kind of look for is collagen fibers wedging, fibroblasts, it's all kind of smooshed together.
And is it smooth?
Yes, smooth muscle is uninucleate, that's right. And there's no nuclei in these collagen fibers. Yeah, like these are fibroblasts in here, and they're wedged between the wavy collagen fibers, which are kind of a lighter color. No nuclei in the collagen fibers. For comparison, let's take a look at dense irregular connective tissue. What do you expect to see about the arrangements of the collagen fibers?
It's all over the place.
All over the place, yeah. Okay, so you don't see a regular routine pattern to this one. This one has collagen fibers, just like dense regular, but they're not regularly arranged. Okay, so this particular type of tissue is very common in the dermis of the skin. That's the deeper layer of the skin, and it's a very tough tissue type. If you have any leather products made from cowhide, that is actually the dermis of the cow skin that has been treated with chemicals to make leathers. And Ugros, there are even libraries in Europe that have human dermis book covers. So, you know, I don't know where that came from. I don't even want to touch that book. But nonetheless, they actually can make leathers from any animal hide by taking the dermis or that dense, irregular connective tissue and treating it chemically. So look at the type of fiber directions here. No matter which way you pull or tug this tissue, it's going to provide support and prevent separating or tearing. Not the case, though, when you look at the regular tissue. It only provides support in the direction that the fibers run. Do you know what these dark spots are? Fibroblasts, good. And what's the predominant fiber type here?
Collagen,
good. So what are those fibroblasts making?
Collagen.
Yeah. I think this looks like a raw pork chop or something of that sort.
What?
Which one is this?
This is dense irregular.
Oh.
What else does this bring to mind?
Pork chop.
Pork chop, yeah.
I'm gonna be a vegetarian.
After this lesson, yeah.
Especially after the roast beef. What the frick?
That gel-like stuff, yeah. This is a great picture. It's a great review picture. There's two tissue types here. Can you first of all tell me the general categories?
One is epithelial.
One is epithelial. Good, let's take the epithelial. What specific type?
Stratified.
Topmost layers are packed tight, dead skin cells. That groovy bottom confirms for us it is a stratified squamous tissue. The stuff down below, all of this deeper, thicker portion is what specific connective tissue? Dense irregular, yeah. Even though you really don't see the swirls that you normally find, you do see the fibroblast nuclei, and you kind of get a sense that there's disorganization of those collagen fibers.
I have a question.
Sure.
This might sound crazy. Can you go back to that picture?
Sure.
How am I supposed to know that that's fibroblast?
It is a nucleus. It's a nucleus for a fibroblast. But see, collagen fibers are just strands of protein, and they're not going to have a nucleus themselves. So all this lighter colored stuff, that's all just collagen fibers. And these are the fibroblast nuclei. So yeah, you're exactly right. It is a nucleus. It's just a fibroblast nucleus. Fibroblast nuclei are kind of scattered few and far between here. Really nice looking set of collagen fibers running through this dense, irregular connective tissue. This is dense elastic connective tissue, and I think one thing really pops out at you, and that is what type of fiber?
Stretchy.
Elastic, right. A very stretchy, wiggly looking type of fiber. And knowing that you've got elastic fibers here, what do you think the function must be?
Stretch.
Stretch, exactly. So it is densely packed. There is very little white space in this picture. And you've got a lot of elastic fibers, which are squiggly looking in this picture. All right, so in terms of location, where would you find this type of connective tissue? Where's that? Vocal cords, good. Where else? Aorta, good. So tell me about the vocal cords. What must they do? Vibrate, good. And vibrating, they also stretch, but they have to last a lifetime, so they have to be made of a very tough, dense tissue type, and the elasticity comes from those elastic fibers. Let's think about the aorta for just a moment. Do you know what vessel that is and why it's so important? Right. Takes blood from the heart to the body, and it has to also last a lifetime. It is also meant to have strong walls to withstand high-pressure blood. So you're going to find these in the walls of big vessels like the aorta and the ones closest to the heart, because you need the stretchiness to withstand the pressure. Okay, so can you tell the difference between dense elastic and dense irregular? There's dense elastic, there's dense irregular.
Yes, there's dense interaction.
Right, fibers in the same direction for elastic.
And elastic has skinny, so like skinny waves.
Yeah, skinny waves, yeah. How about the direction fibers in irregular? All over the place, right? Okay, now how about this comparison? How about dense regular compared to dense elastic? Both go in the same direction.
One's
curlier than the other, right. These are all collagen fibers in your dense regular connective tissue. You get a sense of the waviness there. But with dense elastic, you definitely get much tighter, curlier elastic fibers. That's where the stretch comes from.
Where would the fibroblast?
Fibroblast, I am seeing a couple, like a dark spot here. Right there's one. They are really hard to see here. Yeah. In fact, there may be less in this one than the other pictures, too.
So it's not always, like, obvious.
Not obvious, yeah, because some of these have way more than others. Yeah.
You just have to know that it's in here.
Yeah, just push it somewhere in the background.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. How about any questions on loose or dense connective tissues? Tell me what you know about cartilage.
It has chondrocytes.
Has chondrocytes, good.
They all have collagen fibers?
Good, they all types have collagen fibers. Would you describe this as brittle like bone or rubbery or liquid?
Like
rubbery, yeah. It's a rubbery type of tissue. It's meant to be a flexible skeletal element. You know, bone isn't very flexible. It flexes and bends a little bit, but nothing like elastic fibers in, say, elastic cartilage or, say, your ear. Okay? So our cartilages are meant to be more of a rubbery, more flexible skeletal element. Let me start you off with the most common type of cartilage in the body, and that one is hyaline cartilage. So how would you describe the appearance of hyaline? Glassy, okay. What type of cells are you seeing here?
Chondrocytes,
good. So let me explain what's going on. This is just a piece of hyaline cartilage. Along the edges, you have chondroblasts, but in the meat of the tissue, right through the middle here, there aren't any chondroblasts because there are no blood vessels traveling through the middle of this tissue. That means in order for you to heal broken cartilage, you have to wait for these chondroblasts at the edges to grow and invade this very dense rubbery tissue in the middle. What that means for us, if you break or tear cartilage, you're looking at most likely having surgery to repair that broken cartilage. It does not like to heal itself because it is avascular, and those chondroblasts live along the edges, the outside edges of this tissue. So yeah, these cells in here are in fact chondrocytes. That means that they are doing what for a living? Sites are
mature.
Yeah, they're not really doing any breaking down, any building. They're just doing their regular metabolic activities. So those mature chondrocytes to me look like eyeballs floating in soup. Okay, so you may look at this and see the eyeballs. Those are in fact the nuclei of your chondrocytes.
You're just ruining everything.
I know, now soup is off the list, right? There is a little air space around each chondrocyte. That air pocket has a name. You know the name.
Lacunae.
Lacunae, good. So lacuna is a lake, but technically it's an air pocket. So chondrocytes and osteocytes both reside in a little tiny air pocket called a lacuna.
Say that again.
Sure. The chondrocytes and osteocytes both reside in the air pocket, and the air pocket's the lacuna. Catlin means smooth and glassy, and that's what you get here. You get a smooth, glassy matrix. All this stuff in the background here is the non-living rubbery matrix of this tissue. This is the first time we've actually had a really appreciable view of a matrix. There's other loose and dense types. You could kind of see white space back there, but you know, a lot of times it was filled with a liquid or a jelly-like matrix. But this is a rubbery matrix, and it has collagen fibers weaving throughout. So these things in the background, these are collagen fibers, and they're meant to provide the strength and flexibility that collagen provides to any connective tissue.
So we will always have collagen around them?
Yeah, and sometimes they're visible, in, like in here, they're not visible in that one. But you've always got the eyeball suit. This is a kind of cool picture. You've got your hyaline cartilage over here on the far right. You've got some glands of some sort right here.
Cuboidal.
What type? Cuboidal? Simple or stratified?
Simple cuboidal.
What general category does that belong to?
Epithelial.
And general category of this stuff? General is?
Epithelial.
Yeah. And it looks like it's stratified columnar, which is one we don't cover, so we'll leave that alone. We'll just know that it's epithelial. All right, more hyaline cartilage. So I think you get the sense here. It's smooth, it's very pretty, it's glassy looking.
Should we, the empty one beside it, does it have any description?
The empty, tell me where?
It looks as though all of them have an empty shell beside it.
That's the lacuna, yes, right. Yeah.
Would that be a good way to know that it's hyaline?
You're going to find it in any cartilage, so I wouldn't necessarily look at that and say that's the deciding factor for this one. But the smooth, glassy background is what I would look for. Yep. That's a great view. There's your nucleus, there's your chondrocyte, and that big air pocket is the lacuna. So a lot of big air pockets in these particular views here. Let's talk fiber cartilage. The name tells you a lot. Fiber cartilage has fibers. Okay, what kind of fibers?
Collagen.
Collagen fibers, anything else? Making you second guess yourself? Okay, so these are collagen fibers. That's all you've got. Okay, and they're tightly packed. Really tightly packed. And know that collagen fibers tend to take on a very gentle wave appearance. And so you've got lots of nice waves here from these collagen fibers, but boy, they are tightly packed. There's actually very little room for matrix, and actually very few chondrocytes in their lacuna. Okay. Keep in mind, fiber cartilage is a very tightly packed type of tissue. And then think about the two main locations for it. What are two good places for fiber cartilage? Discs in your back, good, and?
Your knee.
Your knee, good. What does someone who is getting older always complain about hurting?
Your
back and your knees, yep. So this particular tissue has to support your body's weight. Imagine what your knees go through every day. Walking upstairs, sitting down, getting up, getting in and out of the bed, on and off the toilet. You know, there's a lot of movement that those knees must support, and that fiber cartilage, eventually wears down. So it is meant to be a strong, supportive kind of connective tissue. Same thing with the intervertebral discs on your back. You actually lose up to an inch in your height every day just from standing and gravity pulling you down. You're actually taller in the morning than you are in the afternoon because gravity compresses the discs of your back and compresses these fiber cartilage menisci inside your back.
Do
you get shorter? Yeah.
I feel like I'm taller in
bed. Yet you're taller in the morning after you've been asleep at night. Yep. Okay, so you'll notice that a good way to describe this one is a shock absorber. It is meant to be a very tough, compression-resistant type of tissue because of its locations. general tissue type, what do you think? Connective, good. What specific type?
Fibrocartilage.
Now, how do you know it's not hyaline cartilage?
They're the same.
It don't look like eyeball soup.
It don't look like eyeball soup, yeah. And what are all these wavy things?
Fibers.
What kind of fibers? Good. And these little air pockets are known as? And the cell inside?
Chondrocyte.
Yeah. Chondroblasts are only at the edges where growth can occur, but you're not looking at growth occurring inside a tissue that's this densely packed. The last type of cartilage is also avascular, just like the other two. That means it's poor to repair. That means it doesn't grow very fast. But this one tells you what kind of fibers it has. In addition to collagen, it also has what?
Elastic.
Good. So the elastic fibers here are hard to see. They're squeezed between these numerous chondrocytes. Notice that they're trapped in their little air pockets. Those air pockets are called? Lacuna. Good. I think this looks like an alligator's mouth. You know, this is the alligator's jaw. And all of that are the alligator's teeth.
Almost looks like transitional.
It kind of does. I'm glad you brought that up. How would you confirm it's not transitional?
Because it doesn't have apical.
No apical surface, right? If this stuff down here was not present, I'd agree with you. Yeah. So no apical surface means it's not transitional. So that is just a wedge right through here of elastic cartilage. The E is going to be my clue. E means it has elastic fibers. E means it's located in two E locations. Where are they?
Ear and epiglottis.
Good. Good. So that flexible structure of your ear and the flap that keeps you from aspirating food and water into your trachea, that flap is also elastic cartilage. Needs to be very flexible. And this one is more flexible than hyaline or dense, the two we just talked about, fiber cartilage that we just talked about. All right, we have two connective tissues here. Is connective tissue the general category or the specific type?
General.
General, good. Let's start with this one. Look closely. What specific type?
Dense irregular.
Dense irregular. How do you know?
Fibers going all over.
Yeah, fibers kind of mixed and jumbled, okay? And then right through here is a nice, pretty wedge of
elastic cartilage,
right? And again, it looks like a bunch of teeth or rocks or marbles all kind of crammed together. Okay. Do you have any questions on cartilages? Almost done with connective tissues. Bone and blood are last. And you may wonder why they're placed in this category. Any ideas? Good. They have blast and clasts like other connective tissues.
A matrix.
They have a matrix. Good. Bottom line function is also similar. What do connective tissues do in general?
Protect, support.
Good. Connect, protect, support. And that's what bone and blood do. So even though they are odd in terms of connective tissue structure, they still fit in this category. Let's talk about compact bone, otherwise known as osseous tissue. What do you see?
Tree
ring. I see tree rings too. I think that's a great way to describe this one. You're looking at rings of matrix. These rings are calcium salts, non-living, secreted there by osteoblast. So osteoblast laid down these rings. They got stuck, and now they're retired as osteo-what? Osteocytes. So there they are. These are osteocytes trapped in the matrix. So imagine building your house, putting up some walls, and oops, you just walled yourself in, and now you're stuck to live out the rest of your life between your walls. That is exactly what happens to osteoblasts. They wall themselves in, they get stuck there, and then they just ride out the rest of their days as osteocytes. They too have a little air pocket called
Lacuna.
Good. This hole in the middle is typical of compact bone. Do you know what travels through that hole? Blood.
Yeah.
Blood vessels and nerves travel through there.
Yep.
Let me zoom out and you're going to get a much different view. Every one of these dark spots is a blood vessel traveling through that hole you just saw, that hole right there. So there's lots of these things all over this picture. All the little dark spots are what type of bone cell? Osteocytes. Yeah, osteocytes. They got trapped in the matrix that they were building. The matrix here is made up of a hardened what? Calcium. Salt. Yeah, hardened matrix of calcium salt. This is meant to be a strong tissue, and what makes it flexible is the presence of what type of fiber? Collagen. Good. So we know that collagen is meant to be a strong but flexible fiber type, so that is commonly found here in bone. You've got to have the collagen for the flexibility. The calcium salts give you the strength. I could ask you location, but that's kind of like one of those obvious questions, right? Okay, so these of course build your skeletal system. You are correct, I've wanted you to say bone marrow for that hole, but in fact the bone marrow would be in the center of spongy bone or in the center of the shaft of the long bones. But that is a big job here for bone, is not only to store calcium in the matrix, but also to make blood cells called hematopoiesis in that marrow. Yay, last one. Okay, blood. So you may say again, why does this belong to the connective tissue category? It has a matrix. It has blast. And believe it or not, it has fibers. It's just that those fibers are not visible when blood is in this state. The only time the fibers appear is when blood clotting occurs. The plasma is the matrix of the blood. You would describe that as what? Is plasma liquid, solid, jelly-like?
Liquid.
Liquid, yes. So plasma is the liquid portion of the blood. And the solid portion of your blood comes from cells. There's three main types. Erythrocytes are otherwise known as what? Good. What is the other name for a white blood cell? Good. And the last cell type?
Platelets.
Platelets. Good.
Well, we have to say thrombocytes.
I'll take platelets. Yeah. So we know a lot about blood. We know that blood is a very important connective tissue, even though it's a liquid connective tissue. One major function of blood is to provide protection for us. Which specific type of blood cell protects us from infection?
Leukocytes,
good, the white blood cells, good. We're gonna learn a lot more about blood in Bio-211. It is certainly a protective type of tissue. It not only protects us from foreign invaders, like infections, it also protects us from fluid loss, you know, if you happen to rupture a blood vessel. Okay, how are you feeling in terms of your identification process of these tissues? And getting there?
Okay.
How about function location? Are you starting to get that under your belt? Okay. Anything I can help with so far on connective tissues? Good. Good.
You need an award.
An award. A tissue award.
No, just general teaching.
Okay, let's hit some review. General type.
Epithelial.
ET epithelial. Specific type.
Pseudostratified.
Ciliated. Columnar. Good. Good.
Huh?
So, don't just stop with pseudostratified. You'll get half credit for that, right? Pseudostratified, ciliated, columnar. Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad we did this. That's good to know.
It's not on my
It may be in the lab manual that says ciliated. I definitely say colander though.
Yeah, colander is in here.
Definitely say colander. All right, genital type.
Epithelios. Simple strata.
Stratified squamous. Good. So general is ET or epithelial tissue. Specific type is stratified squamous epithelial tissue. So.
Can we just say that stratified squamous ET?
That works. How about two locations for transitional?
Bladder,
ureters, urethra. Good. And two locations for simple cuboidal. Good. Ovaries, surfaces, kidney tubules, glands, like sweat glands, oil glands. Good. Okay. Got just a few minutes left. Let me get muscle tissue and nervous tissue taken care of, and then at least we'll be done with those. Okay, muscle tissue is page 48. If you're keeping track, epithelial tissues have an apical surface and a basement membrane. Connective tissues have fibers, a matrix, blast and clasp. Muscle tissues are built for movement, so they're often long and cylindrical. And of course, the name of the game is to shorten and contract and produce movement. Our first type is skeletal muscle. It tells you where it's located. Then we have cardiac muscle, located in the heart, and smooth muscle, which lacks what?
Striations.
Striations, good. So let's talk about skeletal muscle first. Skeletal muscle tissue is attached to our bones. It is under voluntary control, which means what? Good. You think if you move it. In terms of structure, it is striated. And another word for striations is what? Bands, right, good. This is a great picture of skeletal muscle tissue. It has the light and dark banding pattern. It looks like it's very lightly striped. That is an arrangement of protein fibers inside that muscle. We'll actually cover that later in this course. These skeletal muscle fibers may need to run the length of your leg, say from your knee to your hip. And so to make a muscle cell that's that long, multiple muscle cells actually join and form what's called a muscle fiber. Now, when you join together several muscle cells, they bring along their nuclei. That makes this a multi-nucleate tissue. So yeah, you're gonna have muscle cells or fibers that literally are feet in length, like the ones in your legs, that allow for the movement of your leg. So multi-nucleate is a unique feature here. Voluntary contraction is also a unique feature here. What else do you know about this tissue?
It has one nucleus.
It's actually multi-nucleate. Yeah. Anything else you know about this tissue? Cells are solitary. Cylindrical. Good. Okay. So they're long, they're skinny, they're like drinking straws, they're laid closely together. And I want you to notice that because this is the only tissue type that we have them long, cylindrical, like drinking straws, and pretty much laid right next to a neighboring cell. You don't find this setup in cardiac muscle tissue. Do you recognize the dark spots? What are they? They're not fibroblast nuclei, they're just nuclei, yeah. Yeah. Really cool picture of skeletal muscle here, running throughout, looks like dense irregular connective tissue in the background there. First thing I want you to notice.
Interconnected.
Intercalated discs, good. This is the only tissue type with intercalated discs. So what is an intercalated disc? Right, there were plasma membranes butt up together, and they're in fact gap junctions. I know we talked about gap junctions in here on Monday. Are gap junctions preventing substances from traveling between cells, or do they allow it?
They allow it.
They're like the creepy door to the hotel room next door. Okay, they're wide open passageways. So if my fingers were plasma membranes, imagine having them open and stuff could travel between my fingers. So because I've got two plasma membranes butted up to each other, when you're looking at the cell membrane, you actually see a line where those two membranes butt up to each other. That's the best way to identify cardiac muscle tissue. Look for those gap junctions known as intercalated discs. They're going to show up as either a dark line or a white area on these tissues. It depends on how they stain them. They do. They allow, they're like open doorways between neighboring cells. The whole reason for having these is so nerve impulses can travel through the entire cell at once without having to be slowed down by doing business at the plasma membranes. So it literally can just go zooming along from one cell to the next without being interrupted at all. Does this tissue have striations? Yeah, it has striations. Is it voluntary? No, because you can't tell your heart to beat. You couldn't go to sleep if that was the case. These cells are also separate and solitary, which means they don't touch each other. And I know if you look closely, you think they probably are leaning, but in reality, let's go back here. In reality, they're not touching their neighbor. The reason for that is nerve impulses could zap this way and tell other cells to contract when it's not actually time. So the nerve impulses travel the length of the cell, zooming through those gap junctions and on to the next location. That ensures the heart contracts together as a pump and as a unit. We do not want your heart contracting like this wavy bowl of jelly. We want it to do it together unit-wise. I don't know, that looks like tire tracks to me. I think somebody's fooling. That's not really cardiac tissue, but there's your intercalated discs. Nice look at the striations. This must have come from 1900 when microscopes were brand new. Okay, last muscle tissue type is smooth muscle tissue. It does not have what?
Striations.
No striations, good. Where do you find smooth muscle tissue?
Walls of the hospital.
Good. Any tube in here? It's found in the walls. So you're right, blood vessels have them in their walls. Digestive organs have them in their walls. Urinary organs have them in there. This is how we get food moved from one organ to the next. How we get blood moved around your arteries. This is also how we get urine moved down the ureter tubes to hold in your bladder. This is a uninucleate type of cell, meaning what? One nucleus per cell, right. Kind of hard to see here, but that darker pink area is your nucleus. And these cells are spindle-shaped. And what I mean by spindle-shaped is they're shaped like a snake that just had a meal. They're fat in the middle, and they taper down on either end. They are not cylindrical-shaped like your skeletal muscle, and they're not branched like you see with your cardiac muscle. All right, a common confusion is smooth muscle and dense regular connective tissue. So here they are. Can you tell the difference?
Yeah.
So we always look for wavy collagen fibers, and it didn't disappoint. Here are the wavy collagen fibers up here, dense regular connective tissue. What do you see down here that distinguishes smooth muscle from dense regular?
No waves.
No waves.
And
yeah, look for the nuclei. Yeah. So those nuclei are in each of those smooth muscle cells. If you see nuclei up here, they're not in the collagen fibers. What are they actually belonging to? Fibroblasts. Blast, yeah, the fibroblast. Yep. So nuclei and the collagen, or nuclei and the dens regular comes from fibroblast. In the smooth muscle, those nuclei are found in the cells themselves. One last one for us, real quick, is nervous tissue, and then we can call it a day. All right, so nervous tissue has no specific types, yay. We deserve it after all the connective and epithelials we've been through. How would you describe the shape of the neuron? A star, that's a great way to describe it. I sometimes have a vision of a steamrolled octopus, but you get the sense that you've got a flattened big body area with the nucleus in the middle and a lot of extensions that come off the sides. The supporting cells here that looks like just background noise, all of this stuff is called neuroglia, literally nerve glue that helps to insulate, support, and protect the neurons. The neurons are the only things that conduct nerve impulses in this tissue type. The neuroglia is just there to provide kind of a backup support and insulation. This particular tissue conducts electrical impulses. It has two major functions, irritability and conductivity, meaning if you're irritable, that's good news. You can do what? You can sense a stimulus, and you're right, conductivity is sending messages, okay? So you gotta have both to have a functional nervous system, and this tissue here is the basis for CNS, PNS, all those nervous system components. Hey guys, if you have any questions on this stuff, I'll be happy to help you in class on Monday. We will start membranes and skin next week too.